Welcome to Pep Talk with Bridget Kay.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Annalee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Annalee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Annalee. Annalee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Annalee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Annalee.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. Oh, I love it. I love it. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you, Miss Bridget. Good morning, Bob. We're all here with you today, still doing these programs remotely. A bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, but, Bob's about to be connected with us via phone.
Good. But isn't that what life is? Life is adjustments, you know, on a consistent basis. So I, for one, am still trying to be as careful as I possibly can. You know, a bottle of hand sanitizer on my desk. I am one of those people that I do wear a mask out of consideration for everyone else. 'Cause I don't know. I mean, who knows? You know, Bridget, have you been tested for this thing?
I have not been tested. And I mean, that's the thing. You don't know if you have it or not. So we all have to take the necessary precautions. Like, I hope everybody else is as well.
Yeah. And you know, it's causing a lot of problems across the world, not just across the United States. It's causing problems across the world, psychologically, emotionally. Of course, it's causing a lot of problems financially. And this is the time I want to remind everybody, please don't think that your financial advisor is a magician. We are not. Anybody who says to you that they can time the market and knows exactly when it's going to go up or exactly when it's going to go down, that is not the truth. There is no such thing. You have volatility types of measurements where you can make an educated presumption, but you really don't know that. And if a client comes along and says, this is what I want you to do, it's what the advisor by obligation has to do. So don't think that any of them can tell you, okay, this is the bottom, now it's going up, or tell you, oh, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, it's going to drop. We are not in that type of a market, especially right now. So what I'd like to do today is open this up, as always. If you have questions or comments, call us, 437-1620, or text Bridget. She will relay your message, and we'll see what we can do to answer you, okay?
Mm-hmm. And so speaking of callers, we have Bob that has joined us via phone, so we got him connected. Well, technology in the virtual world is crazy.
I love it.
Well, hello.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, ladies. Good morning.
Yeah.
How's everybody?
Well, you know, we were just talking about the fact that all the changes that this is bringing about. And, you know, no matter how good your advisor is, don't expect them to time the market, because there is no such animal. So we're going to cover a lot of things today about challenges that this whole situation is causing, and things that have been brought up that some of us have never had to encounter or deal with before. You know, and some of that is that people are all of a sudden not able to pay all of your bills or pay the full amount. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I would encourage you, and Bob, I'm sure you agree with me, that if you cannot pay your bills, if you can't pay the credit cards, if you can't pay your house note, if there's something out there, that's contact the lender. These people are so overwhelmed right now. Some of them have actually set up websites where you can go in and say, all right, listen, I can't make my note this month. Could we take this month's note and put it to the end of the note? And many, exactly. many lenders, yeah, I mean, it's, and it, don't you agree, Bob, that those lenders and loan services have an advantage if they do that?
Absolutely. I mean, the cost of, you know, whatever it is, foreclosing or pursuing a loan in full is astronomical. The easiest thing to do is work it out. And that, it, everything drives, everything leads back to communicating. And you've got to do it early and often. And it's not just your mortgage. It's your credit cards, your utilities, really everything.
Your automobile.
Absolutely, your automobile, yeah. or communicating with your landlord, and it's
yes.
You know, you just can't say enough for getting in front of it right now and communicating these things.
Yes, talk to people and realize everybody right now is working under extenuating circumstances, including your financial advisors. You know, we always try to answer calls within a 24-hour period. Usually it's more like a 12-hour period. However, even we are working under extenuating circumstances. When you're working out of your home, when all of a sudden you've got to, you know, while you're working, teach your child because your child's not in school, or you have to take care of another relative or a parent, be patient. Be patient with each other and don't expect people to just jump through a hoop because all of a sudden you want or need something. Should you be acknowledged and someone gotten back to you? Of course you should. But understand everybody right now is working under different circumstances. And just be aware of that. Talk to the people. If you owe people money, talk to them. Now, with that said, this brings up something that we talk about all the time in the classes that we teach. We talk about a lot when we talk to our clients. And a situation like this has made it even more obvious. You've got to do some real planning for your finances during these times. I am still to this day shocked when I have someone come into my office and they are totally lost because one member of the family handled finances and that member is now ill and you can't communicate with them, or they have passed away. That
right.
just shouldn't
right.
happen. It shouldn't happen.
Exactly.
And I know, Bob, your house is probably the same as mine and everybody else's. We tend to fall into roles. You know,
right.
okay, you take out the garbage, I cook. I mean, whatever.
Right. It apparently falls into two camps. What are the household finances? And what are, you know, really the big picture finances?
Yes.
Or things yes. that need to be attended to. And it's the latter that goes by the wayside. And really, let's make it clear to our listeners, you don't have to be married, okay? It's not
no.
sharing everything with your spouse. You have to have somebody, whether you're single, whether you live, whether you're a hermit, you know, you need somebody mm-hmm. to clean up, to attend to everything and shut things down once you're no longer here, or
yeah.
to continue it if there's, you know, there is this time sometimes between now and when we when our will matures, right? There is this time where, you know, we may not have everything together and we need somebody to step in and take care of things for us.
Well, and right now is proof in the pudding of that. You know, suppose that one of you becomes ill, and you know what's happening now in the hospitals. People are sequestered. They are not allowed to have visitors. They have very limited communication. Sometimes people are so ill, they cannot communicate. So if that were to happen to you, just think about it. Are your bills going to be paid? Is someone making sure that you're getting the deposits you should be getting, either from a pension or Social Security? Those are the things we have to think about. We're going to talk about all those today. So sit down and kind of think right now about who handles the finances in your family. And sometimes, like Bob was saying, one handles one part and the other handles the other part. Now, this to me is always very, very surprising. And I went through this past year, actually. Two clients, people I knew, they actually are friends of mine and were friends before they became clients. And they went through a divorce. And in the divorce proceedings, it was amazing. There was all kind of money and assets that were brought forth that, guess what, the wife didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. That's scary. Yeah, I mean, that's scary. Didn't even know that they existed. So let's suppose instead of a divorce, you know, and when you go to court, by law, you have to bring all those things forward. But let's suppose that spouse had died and the wife didn't even know those things existed. She wouldn't even know to go and make a claim on them because she didn't even know they were out there. So
exactly.
If you're going to live with somebody, if you're going to be a spouse, you really need to be open with what is going on. And I know there are marriages where one person is terrible with money and the other kind of tries to quote unquote hide money. Have you ever hit clients like that, Bob? Where, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, I can't let him know I got this money because he'll go spend it on, you know, betting on the football game or whatever. If I let her know I got this money, she'll go spend it on all the TV things that they're selling. We all know those situations do exist, but this is where you need counseling. You don't need hiding of money. And if that person doesn't know, somebody's got to know that money is out there in case something happens.
And Annalee, how many times do we meet these couples? And I'm not saying they're 25, but let's say they're in their 40s. And they have, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of children. And to this day, they keep, and I'm talking solid couples, solid marriages.
Yeah.
And to this day, they keep their finances separate. And, you know, maybe one came to the end of the marriage with student loans. And they, you know, they try to explain it, but it really doesn't make much sense. They keep their finances separate. And I see that more and more often. Do you agree?
Yeah. Well, to an extent, and I've always said that I think each person should, when you're doing household finances, I've always firmly believed in three checking accounts. One is mine, one is yours, and one is for the house. And we both contribute to the house account, and therefore the house account pays the electricity bill, it pays the water bill, it pays the food bills, it pays all the things that are in common. Each of you should contribute to that house account proportionately to what you make. So if one makes $200,000 and one makes $40,000, you cannot expect the one who makes $40,000 to contribute the same amount as the one who makes $200,000. That just isn't right.
Exactly.
Okay. Now,
right.
That account goes in, but what I've found over the years is having each that separate checking account, that avoids the thing of, oh, okay, you went out and you bought a new rifle or you went out and bet on the football game. I'm going out and spending $2,000 at Chico's. You know, I can't say what you do with your private money, you can't say what I do with mine. But in that aspect, you've got to agree and understand what you're both doing to save for the future. All of that should be common knowledge. You know, you can have all of those accounts listed on your bank account where each of you can see what the other has. And each of you can have access to the other in case of an emergency. But it's kind of like my account, your account, our account. And then it's just like your 401ks, your 403bs, your 457s. They're each individual. But I firmly believe, and I think you're saying the same thing, Bob, those accounts, we got to know about them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and then the other thing that I've seen a lot of, you'll have somebody that keeps this wonderful spreadsheet or personal financial statement, and it's got everything. And possibly both parties know that it, well, certainly the creator of that spreadsheet knows that it exists, but it's on his or her computer with his or
right.
her password, and nobody has access to, you know, what I would call, you know, all of the accounts, all of the, you know, all of the information on a personal financial statement. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you've got to, you know, every now and then create a hard copy and hand it to whoever your partner is or whoever holds a power of attorney for you.
Yeah, and let's kind of go back and start this at the beginning. So the first thing we're going to recommend to people to do is very quickly, we're in very uncertain times, and I know some people don't think that this illness is a reality, others do. One way or the other, people die every day. And we don't know what it's going to be from an illness such as the one going around now, a car accident, just running out of life because, as they say, your number is up, whatever it may be. So promise yourselves that this week you're going to get together, you're going to sit down, and you're going to start sharing that financial picture and start looking at the facts. So let's go through some things that you should be jotting down. And these are the things you're going to want to talk to each other. Does each of you know where your accounts are? Where do you have money? What bank, what credit union, what other kind of accounts might be out there? Do you have a safety deposit box? What about your retirement accounts? That would be IRAs, 401ks, 403bs. Do you have pensions that if
life
you pass
insurance.
Away? Life insurance, what a biggie, okay? And if something were to happen to you, how does your spouse claim those? Or the beneficiaries, whoever they may be. But if people don't know they're there, that's why they are in every state. They have the law of what's called escheatment. And if funds are out and not claimed over a certain amount of time, they go into a general fund in the state until they are claimed. Now, here's the sad part. They have millions and millions and millions of dollars in these funds. Why? People don't know where, how to go and claim them. So right. It's important for you to sit down, talk about them, talk about what banks have what kind of money. How is that money invested? Is it inside of the market? Is it in money market? Is it in an annuity? Where is it? And talk about the risk factors involved and what it's in. The other thing I've found people don't always talk about is property. I've had couples that have inherited property and they never tell the spouse about it. I don't understand why, but they never
exactly.
tell the spouse. Go ahead, Bob.
That's another area, and we all know what happens with real estate when you don't know about it, or possibly you do know about it, and you don't pay your property taxes. I mean, that,
right?
You know, you will find out that is owned by someone else. You know, and you know, usually within 2 years of somebody forgetting about it, neglecting it, or never knowing about it, and so
mm-hmm.
it's very important to include real estate, and there's no real central database showing everybody's real estate and where it's owned. So
no, there isn't.
It's
and like
included.
You said, if somebody doesn't pay those property taxes, that is normally confiscated by the state, and then the state auctions it off. And you can have pieces of property that are worth nice amounts of money that are sold for a very small amount. So please sit down, have those conversations. And as Bob said, make a list of what you have, where it is, who to get in touch with to claim that property, and update that on a regular basis and share it with the people involved. I've gone so far now, because I live here, the majority of my family lives out in Louisiana. They actually have packages I've sent to them that include keys to my house. It includes copies of my trust. It talks about where my checking accounts or who I have life insurance policies with, because if people are going to be in charge of stuff, if something happens to me, I want them to know where to look for stuff. I don't want them to spend days trying to figure it out. It's just crazy. Okay.
And, I think a great template for somebody is going across, you obviously want to list the name of the account. Is it a bank account or the name of the asset? Is it a piece of real estate? What's the address?
What is it?
And then, if there is an account number or the address of the real property, you need to include that. You may want to put the market value. You may want to put what type of account is it? Is it a retirement asset? Is it a non-qualified or non-retirement asset? Or is it real estate or a promissory note or exactly what it is? You also have to include, how is it titled? Is it titled in your name only? Is it titled jointly? Are there beneficiary designations? And that needs to be included.
All of that. And the more information you can give, the better it will be. Now, that's your assets. Let's go to another sheet. What payments are you making? Now, if something were to happen to me right now, it would be very simple for the people that have access to my checking account to see exactly what bills I pay every month and how much I pay, because I pay everything electronically. Okay, but there are people that don't do that, or if you don't give someone access to that account, or if it's not a joint owner on that account, they can't get into it. Okay, so what bills are you paying? Do you have mortgage? Do you have rent? Do you have a car loan? What about your utility bills? Credit cards are a big important one. Student loan payments. Some people are still stuck with those, for goodness sake. You want to make sure that you've listed everything. And Bob has consistently just mentioned one, property taxes. And what's right. The one we all have now that we never used to have? The cell phone.
Right.
Who's your carrier? Right. Who's your carrier? You don't want that thing just closed off and all the information is lost that's on them.
Right.
When are the bills due? Go ahead.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say, on a personal note, one of the things that, and I know a lot of people do this, is their bill arrives, over the internet, or you get an email confirmation. There could be several ways that you receive it. But one of the things I've always liked about getting a bill by regular mail is if somebody comes in, like, let's say my sister comes in to take care of things, or Connie or somebody, they have that physical bill arriving instead of
trying
to get into my email, trying to, convince, Verizon or AT&T verse that,
figure it out.
That somebody has passed away or can't attend to their financial needs anymore, and you need to get in. So I always like the idea of a physical bill,
but
I know that is changing.
About, It's time, almost time to go to news. I don't mean to talk over you, but it's hard with us being in different locations. Mm-hmm. So think about while we're listening to the news, think about questions you have on this and call us at 437-1620 or text us.
Now back to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Bridget Kay on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind. And every time I step up in the building,
everybody.
And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there.
Excuse me, I have to get off my desk now.
I am looking forward to having you back in the studio, and I can see your dance moves. It's been, 10 weeks too long.
I know. I mean, I came up with some new ones with all this time by myself, so you will be astounded.
I'm looking forward to it.
I've seen her working on it, Bridget.
You can attest to that, Bob.
He can.
Yes, I can.
Welcome back to Winning with Mainstay. I'm your host, Anna Lee Leonard, and we have with us Mr. Bob, my wonderful right-hand guy, who is just getting so good with all of the different things that we do. And the advantage to all of our clients is that you now have two of us to help you when you need. So if you have questions, if you need some rebalancing done of your portfolios, if you feel like you're taking too much risk, if nobody's talking to you, call us, 437-3127. Tell Kristen you want to come in and make an appointment. We would love to sit down and talk to you and see what we can do to be of help. Wanted to let you, let's just kind of for a minute, Bob, go back and recap. So if you've got all your finances, sit down as a couple, talk about them. If you are not a couple, make sure you have someone that you trust that you can talk to and get them involved. So number one, schedule a time for you to go over your financial aspects. Keep a list of your accounts. Make sure the people that would be responsible know where those accounts are. My favorite phase of all, have a plan. What would happen? Who's going to manage your money if something happens to you? That is extremely, extremely important. I've been through this enough with my clients. Losing a spouse is just such a challenge. It's so emotional. Don't have stress multipliers by not knowing what you're doing or why you're doing it, okay? So now, with that said, let's go over to what we were talking about a little bit in the beginning, Bob, with the virtual valuables. Now, I want to remind you, if you got a question, call us, 437-1620. We would love to hear from you and talk to you. But answer your questions. I mean, you may have something off what we're talking about, and that's okay. If we have the answer, we'll give it to you. If we don't, we'll research it, and we'll get it to you next week. But let's talk about virtual valuables. Bob, you want to kind of go into what that is?
Yeah. Well, we all over time have accumulated digital assets or, a lot of people refer to our digital wallet. But, this would include, your PayPal account. It can include, I'll tell you another one that a lot of people forget about, your HSA, your health savings account, your flex spending account. And, although those are accounts that truly exist, a lot of the information and a lot of subtleties of those accounts are stored digitally. They're just not as frequently used operating accounts. But anything that you pretty much manage over your cell phone, your laptop, your desktop, or a tablet, that can be considered, your virtual valuables. And of course, the one that comes to mind are PayPal, Venmo, and And listen, sometimes you have a credit sitting there in your eBay, you know, on these accounts because of what
yes.
you bought or had returned on eBay or Amazon mm-hmm. or something like that.
And people, too, remember, if you've done any of the kind of far-right investing and going into things like bitcoins or whatever, somebody's going to know that that's out there and have access to it because you may have money tied up in those things. So anything you've done that way, again, what are you going to do? You're going to take an inventory. Does this sound familiar? If there's a password, you want to make sure somebody knows that password. You want those things to be part of your estate planning. Talk to your attorney about those things if you've got them. How do you want those passed on? Because if you've got all these things sitting out there and there's no beneficiary designation on them and they're not part of your estate plan, guess what? They got to go through probate. So then somebody's got to figure out how to get to them, number one. And number two, now you got to go through probate to claim them. So don't create additional headaches, you know?
Right. And
make it official.
And one of the things we do harp on, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but again, we don't have
any go ahead, Ben.
But, you know, a will, a power of attorney, any of these... appointment of healthcare surrogate, having one drafted and executed on your behalf, that is a selfless act because it's not for you. It's for everyone else so that they don't have to petition the probate court to serve as your personal representative or as your guardian. You do that for everyone else but yourself because you're going to be taken care of no matter what, or you're not going to be here, right, if you die.
Right.
But, you know, somebody, and how many times, Annalee, have we heard, you know, I really don't need a will. All of my assets are owned jointly or have a primary beneficiary designation. No, no, sir, no, ma'am. You do need a will because what a will really accomplishes is it puts somebody in charge when you're no longer there. And really the same with the power of attorney. It puts somebody in charge when you are still here, but unable to take care of your financial needs.
Well, and that's a good thing to bring up because I think too many people automatically think, oh, my spouse will take care of everything if something happens to me. We are living in an age of travel. And you read about this all the time. It happened here in Pensacola several years ago. Prominent real estate couple got in a car accident. They both died at the same time. Now, if they didn't have powers of attorney set up with backups and, you know, a will and everything set into place, excuse me, that would have been absolutely horrendous. So don't just say I'm married. That you could both go at the same time. One could have dementia, for goodness sake. So you've got to make sure you've got that in a lineage and backed up, okay?
Right.
That's just so important. Now, I want to remind you, if you got a question, call us at 437-1620, or you can text us, or if you just want to make a comment. Last week, you were asking me questions like crazy. Where are you this week? Are you recovering from Memorial Day? Is that it?
I mean... Maybe a four-day week is putting people out of whack.
I'm telling you, they all think it's Monday.
Annalee, have you noticed have you noticed how quiet Bridget is?
I'm here, trust me. I don't have any of these things set up. Yes, I had a great weekend, very relaxing. I'm glad to be back, but it's sometimes when you have these 3-day weekends, it's sometimes people think it's Monday today, and I wonder if that's where everyone is. But if you do have a question or a comment, you can give us a call or a text at 850-437-1620.
I mean, even our phone lines are quiet today, which is amazing. Totally amazing.
Yeah, I think there is something about the Tuesday following a 3-day or holiday weekend. And, you know, one other thing on that note, you know, I think we've all experienced a lot of downtime over the last few months. And How many of us have said, you know, what a great time to do this, a great time to do that? I mean, can you think of a better time with all of the distractions, all of the diversions, all of the entertainment choices we had out there, or just getting together with friends and family? You know, since we haven't been able to do that like we've been able to in the past, what a great time to get your financial inventory in order. And I think when we all look back on these last couple of months and what we accomplished, I mean, that's, you know, that right there is some low-hanging fruit, because all you need is you and, you know, maybe your a couple of files or your file cabinet or your,
right.
your desktop at home, you know, just get it
yeah.
together.
Yeah, great time to straighten out and think about the paperwork side. A lot of us have done a lot of things like, you know, painting the house or power washing, or and not that those aren't important, they are, but this is something that's extremely important, so put it on your list. Now, let's talk a little bit about these last few minutes that we've got. Let's talk about the person who is not married. Now, you're in a very, very different situation. You need to pull in somebody that you really can trust, or you need to hire someone who would be a professional to help you in the situation that's if something were to happen. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, you may need help. You may be at a stage in life where you feel as though you need help with, let's say, bill paying. Well, be very careful about putting someone else's name on your account. Could be a joint account, could be a joint account with writer survivorship, could be a different type of checking account. And the last type is the one I'm going to recommend you get if you need that. If you have a joint account with someone, technically, if you pass away, if it's a joint account, they can claim half, the other half goes to your estate. If it's a joint account with right of survivorship and you die, that person can empty that account. That's the one where you got to make sure if you got somebody with you, you better doggone well trust them. You can also go to the bank, and you may have to go to top management to get them to set this up, because it's not always talked about. You can get what's called a convenience account, or sometimes it's called an agency account. You can designate someone, a family member or a very close friend or a professional that you trust, to help you by depositing and withdrawing money and writing checks. And that way, if you pass away, that account does not go to the other person, and you only keep a small amount of money in there. You don't keep all of your money in that, okay? And there are formal organizations. If you need help, consult with the Area Agency on Aging, or, you know, other resources. You can contact Elder Care Locator. Elder Care Locator, and their 800 number is 800-677-1116, and they can help you find professionals that are bonded, that are licensed to actually do this type of thing and help you out. So don't feel like if you're not married, you're sitting out there by yourself. And sometimes we get to that stage. We just need help paying bills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think if you're going to have a joint account, say a joint account that's, joint with a child or joint with a trusted person to pay your bills, you know, that account needs to be, you know, an operating account that, you know, keeps, you know, whatever amount is needed to pay bills that are current and customary. We've all heard the stories and the perils of putting, you know, I remember having a client, a lady, she had seven children, and she had all seven children on all of her accounts.
Wow.
She said, well, it avoids probate. And I'm like, wait, you're right about that. Mm-mm. However, any one of those children can come in right now and pull that money out. Any one of those children can get in an automobile accident or get upside down, you know, with whatever business enterprise they have that's failing, and they can be sued, and all of that money is attached to that and will go, because in joint ownership, you know, everybody owns everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We do have a text message question that came through. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure we get to it.
No, go ahead.
Do you both recommend any good budgeting apps or organization systems?
Budgeting apps. Not that I have done. I've always just put together my own budgeting. I know there are a lot of them out there. If you find something and you want us to look at it, you can email me, let me know that. I have never used any. Have you, Bob?
I haven't, because I think what you do is, and I'm not saying you can't go online and do this, but it's usually something that is a form that you complete, and then mm-hmm. you know, from that form we download it to our own apps, which is perhaps a retirement analyzer or an estate planning or just or the investment management proposal app. But we don't we usually ask that be completed, a budget at least, on a form. Yeah.
What I like to do is I'll ask my clients, and again, I'll use that same sheet, Bob. I want you to keep, at least for a couple of months, a pen and paper with you, a small little pad, pen, and everything you spend, I want to jot it down in categories, because this is the main thing I find with budgeting. People spend money that they do not know they are spending. Someone will come in and they'll say, I make $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, whatever the number is. And, here are my expenses. And they'll show me $1,500 worth of expenses or $2,000 worth of expenses. And my question is, where is the rest of the money going? And they have no idea. So part of starting a budget is to carry that little sheet around with you a couple of months, and all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, I'm spending $40 a week between going to get coffee and stopping at a convenience store and buying a soft drink and a snack. Here's my two favorite words. Stop it.
You sound like me.
Stop it.
I think you're speaking directly to me.
when I used to work with the teachers, I spent an awfully lot of time in my car. I traveled a lot because I had teachers all the way from Escambia County to Port St. Joe. And those of you who don't know the size of that territory, take it out and look at the number of schools. It's massive. So being on the road a lot, that meant that there was a lot of times I was thirsty, a lot of times I was hungry. So guess what I started doing immediately? I had a little ice chest in the back of the car, because I could have spent everything I was making just on buying food and soft drinks. So it's not just what's my average electrical bill. It's not just what is my car note. Yes, those are very important, but those are usually pretty steady. And those are things that are set. There are other things outside that we can control that very often we don't even realize we're spending money on them until we start writing it down. Once you do that, then we sit with that budget sheet that Bob was talking about that we have, and we've got everything pretty well outlined that's going to say, all right, these are the definite expenses. This is how much you got left over. This is how much you should be putting aside for your future, and this is how much you've got to spend. Years ago, I did a show with an author who is a financial advisor, and she wrote a set of books called the Zellawella books, and I loved it. Because she immediately starts teaching children, if you get a dollar, The first 10% you give away to a charity. The second 10% you save, okay? And the rest you have to spend. But what do we do? Mm-hmm. Most of us, we do just the opposite. We get the dollar, we spend it, and then we say, oh, I don't have anything for the future. Well, where did my money go? Oh, and, you know, charitable giving, no, I don't have enough money to do that. Well, yeah, we do, you know. And that could be your time as well as money. But, you know, one of the to me, the greatest wealth I have accomplished is doing things for people where I do it for them, for their betterment. And that's why I love this job. What I do is for other people's betterment, not mine. You know, so it's a good thing to do. So think about all those things and forming some ideas of what's going on out there, whether you be single, whether you be married, doesn't depend if you're 25 or if you're 85. These things apply to all of us, to every single solitary one of us in one way, shape, or form. And if you got questions you want to talk about it, call us at the office, 437-3127. We'd love to talk to you and help you figure this out. We still got a couple of minutes. You can text us, so call us with a question. 437-1620. We'd be glad to answer you if we could. So what are we going to do with this time? Bob, go ahead, Bob.
Well,
I can hear you.
Well, if our listener is, you know, with the, that was asking for a budgeting app, you know, still listening, I really think it's one of these things where you want to sit down and, you know, just start thinking about it. Of course, you're going to need to go through some things, but it is the first step to getting your hands around, you know, just about everything going on in your life and, you know, financially.
Yeah.
You've got to have a budget, and you've got to see where your money is going, you know, before you even know what you're able to save or to make changes to find out what you can whittle down to save more. And, you know, I know that there are sites on there. I don't personally use or recommend any for budgeting, but a site I do like going to, which is a beginner site for just about everything, is, and I'm sure, you know, we've all heard this, is NerdWallet. It's
yes.
It's kind of nice. It's very thought-provoking information on there.
NerdWallet.
NerdWallet. Yeah.
NerdWallet.
And yeah, I want you to realize, you see, Bob and I are showing our ages as we talk about this. Because Bob and I were forced to form budgets and put them together long before they had programs on the computer to do those for you. And that's the thing. We've always lived on budgets, and you can always tell the people that come in where they are financially, whether they've lived on a budget or not. I can remember buying houses. I was always told, you know, oh, you can afford this, you can afford that. And, you know, yeah, I could have afforded it, but you know what? I would have spent my whole life in that house because I wouldn't have been able to do anything else.
Mm.
So sit down and do your numbers. Think about it. Do projections. Sit with your advisor before you make those financial decisions or committing yourself to those big payments. You know, buying a house is not a small thing. You're looking at 20, 30 years of consistent payment. So please go out, stressful times, say please, say thank you. Just appreciate each other. We're all under a lot of stress. Let's really, really make it a wonderful world. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.